Today's reading is from Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14, and it can be found in the Bible on page 990. Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.' This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together as we begin to look at God's word. Heavenly Father, we are small, and I guess in one sense in this universe can feel very insignificant. And so we thank you and praise you so much that you are willing to speak to us. Thank you that you've just done that as your word was read to us. Please continue to do that as we dig into this in more detail now. Amen. There are two types of people in this world. It's a common idea, isn't it? We like that kind of concept, that you can make a statement and you can divide all the people across all the nation into one of two camps. There are two types of people in this world. There are introverts and there are extroverts. We might say that there are people who are task-orientated, people who are goal-oriented. You might be either a conservative or you're a liberal. You're either leave or you are remain. Perhaps most controversially of all, you are either cream and then jam, or you're a bit of a monster, frankly. But whilst on so many of those things, when we actually stop and think about them, we know that they are oversimplifications, aren't they? They are to kind of really narrow it down far too much. You can't really divide the world up into two simple categories like that. Actually, today in our passage, we are going to see that ultimately there are only two types of people in this world. There are yes people and there are no people. There are those who say yes and those who say no to the invitation of the king. That is what we're going to see in our passage, because that's what we have in front of us. We have an invitation. An invitation from the king of the universe to come to the wedding banquet of his son. And verse 1, we see this passage that we have before us, it's a parable. And as many of you probably know, a parable, it's a story with a real point to it. A story that Jesus tells to get under the skin and to really drive home his message and his point. It's not a true story, but it's a story that is deeply true. By which I mean that though the king and the other characters in this parable, the events that happen, are fictional, the truths that we find in them are wonderful, and they are genuine truth. As we listen to these words of Jesus in this parable, we are going to hear truth. Truth about the world we live in, truth about the God who rules it, truth about the people that we know out there in the world, truth about our own hearts as well. But let me try and tell you as we start why this parable of the wedding banquet really, really matters, and why we ought to be listening this morning. Because it's not just important because it's true. This wedding banquet parable is important because this parable about a wedding is actually about funerals. I don't mean to be morbid, but your funeral, my funeral, what people say as they gather around to remember us will be fundamentally shaped by how we respond to these words of Jesus and what we do with the invitation we find in these verses. Because one truth that we are going to see today is that everyone in this room is invited to the great wedding banquet, whether they are good or bad. But there really are only two types of people: those who say yes and those who say no. Now, quickly, just to kind of set the scene and remind us where we are in this story of Matthew's gospel. We're in the final few days of Jesus' life. It's just a few days until he dies on that horrible wooden cross. He has come into Jerusalem as the king, and we're in the midst of a series of interactions that he has with the Jewish religious leaders. He is going, if you like, toe to toe with them, these leaders who have set themselves up as his opponents and as his enemies. I mean, just look back at the very end of chapter 21. We see kind of where these leaders have got to. Verse 45, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew he was talking about them. Verse 46, they looked for a way to arrest him. They've made their decision. They're seeking to silence Jesus and to stop him. And it's to these religious leaders that Jesus now tells this parable, and he gives us his main point very quickly there. He doesn't beat around the bush. Verse 2, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, what the center of this world is all about, is a king throwing a banquet for the son that he loves. That God's great desire, that what the kingdom of heaven will ultimately be all about, is bringing praise and honor and glory to the Son. So that's the picture that we have before us. It's a royal wedding, an occasion where the king invites people to come and to praise his son that he loves. And as he so often does, as he gets into this story, well, what Jesus does is he really does get under our skin. He gets under the surface, he aims at our hearts, and what he does is he unveils two deadly attitudes that we can have. Attitude one, people who say, I couldn't care less about your son. That's the first attitude we see, people who say, I couldn't care less about your son. As we've said, the scene is a wedding banquet. The king is throwing it, he's hosting it, and the surprise comes there in verse 3. He sends out the servants to go and say, look, everything is ready now, come. He invites the people. They say, come to the banquet. And they say, no. Actually, it's a bit stronger than that, isn't it? They refuse to come when they're invited. But this king, he's patient and he wants those people there. And so he sends out his servants again in verse 4. And his invitation is stronger this time. He says, no, look, I've prepared my dinner. The banquet is laid on. Everything is ready. The oxen, the fattened cattle, they have been killed. Come now to my banquet for my son. And what happens next is pretty shocking, because they pay no attention. One wanders off to go and look at his field. Another sets about his everyday business. And the rest, well, it's horrific. They take the king's servants, they abuse them, and then they murder them. It's incredibly offensive, right? I mean, turning down a wedding invitation in any context is pretty rude. But when it's the king saying, come to my son's royal wedding, and you respond by murdering his servants, it's offensive. It's disrespectful. And so it's no surprise that the king reacts as he does in verse 7. He says, you kill my servants, well, there's going to be justice and there will be judgment. Because their attitude, the attitude of these people, is just so clearly, we couldn't care less about this son that you want to honour. The king's whole desire is to have a wedding hall full of people. We're going to see that in a minute. He wants people to come and to recognise his son and to praise him. But these people, they couldn't care less about his son. And what Jesus is doing here is he stands in front of those religious authorities, he's warning them. He's saying, look, my father is preparing a wedding banquet for me. Me getting all the praise and glory is what the universe is about, Jesus says. And be very clear, religious leaders, if you stand there in opposition to me, if you continue as my enemies, it is going to be no joke. You are setting yourself up against a king like this. You're going to be on the wrong side of history, ultimately. And yet, tragically, we know how the story goes, don't we? Although I have no doubt the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they understood what Jesus was saying. They understood his parable. And yet, like those first people who'd been invited, they continue to refuse him. And in so many ways, they should have been the first ones at the party. They were invited. I mean, these guys, they're the best of the best. They're the religious folk. They're the upstanding people. They are from God's chosen nation. They are descendants of Abraham. They love their Bible. They never missed synagogue on Saturdays. If anyone should have been ready and waiting for this banquet, it should have been them. And yet Jesus exposes their hearts, because they refuse to give him honour. They set themselves up against this king by boldly declaring, we can't care less about your son. Now, for many of us in this room, I imagine we're thinking, well, that's all right for those religious leaders, but that heart, that's not where I am. That's not me. And one thing, I'm sure that is true. But there are a couple of ways we do see that attitude, I couldn't care less about your son, come out very clearly in our culture. I guess one way is when you have people who just have no interest in the Lord Jesus. I'm sure there are people here today, we have them every week, who wouldn't call themselves Christian. You're looking into things, or perhaps you've been invited along. If that's you, can I just say really, really clearly that as we look in the pages of this book, we have a king of the universe who is inviting you to a wedding banquet, who's inviting you to give praise and honour to Jesus, his son. And please see very clearly both how wonderful that banquet will be and very clearly the consequences of saying this to God, I couldn't care less about your son. Or I guess another way we see this is, it's just so tragic, isn't it, sometimes? There are members of our church family, people who've been stuck in and plugged in and who have served for many, many years. I see occasionally in the youth work, people who kind of have been brought up coming to church, and then they just start to drift away, don't they? And it becomes quite clear that whatever it was that had been bringing them along to church doesn't have the same pull anymore. And it is tragic, it's heartbreaking. But what I think we see there is this attitude. Perhaps they were coming to church because they liked the atmosphere, they had friends here, or they liked their groups or whatever. But ultimately, they show they don't love the Lord Jesus. That must be the case. Because if we love the Lord Jesus, we're going to be here. And if we see people drifting, it's a sign of where their hearts are. And so just a word of application for us. Friends, if we know people like that, either young people, old people, whoever, people who seem to be drifting right now, remember this king. He is wonderful. He sends that invitation out more than once. He does say, look, come to those people who've rejected him before. Can we be praying for folk that we know who are drifting? Ask that the Lord would be kind enough to bring them in as they are invited again. So I guess there's a couple of obvious ways we see this heart attitude there, but there is a more subtle way, I think, and I've kind of hinted at it already. But remember, these guys that Jesus speaks to, they are religious people. They loved the synagogue, like we love coming to church. And here's a question that I'd love us all to be asking. Why do we come to church? Why are we here this morning? Because it is just so, so easy to come to church because I always come to church on a Sunday morning. It's tradition. Or I come to church because there are friendly people there, because I know I'll be welcomed and included. Perhaps you only come to church because you signed up on a rota months ago and you know that people are going to be expecting you today. But if Jesus himself isn't right at the heart of why we're coming to church, then we are in danger of slipping into this kind of heart attitude. If you're not here this morning because you want to thank him and praise him and worship him and meet with his people to encourage them to look to him, then we are in danger of slipping into this. They're not the same thing, but there is a danger there. Because if we're coming here for other reasons, we are in danger of saying, other things are more important to me than your son, Lord. And do you remember I said this is wedding parable is about funerals? Well, for those people who reject the son in that way, and I'm saying this as compassionately as I know how, there really will be no hope at your funeral. To say I couldn't care less about your son, it is deadly, it is dangerous, and it is hopeless. But as well as that, we see a second attitude in this passage, which is another way of saying no. It's more subtle, but no less deadly. And the second attitude we see is this one. Attitude 2, I am going to do this my way. There is more than one way to say no. The first lot, they say it outrightly, don't they? It's very obvious that they are rejecting the king's invitation. But the king's response at that point, it's striking. And it is wonderful because we see how clearly what he wants more than anything is for that wedding hall to be full of guests. So he sends out his servants again. He says, go to the streets, find anyone, like literally anyone, and bring them in because my son will be honoured. His wedding hall will be full. Bring in, it says explicitly, the bad as well as the good. And it's a wonderful reminder, isn't it, there in verse 10, that in heaven, in God's kingdom, at this great banquet when it's a reality, there are going to be all sorts of people there. There will be the bad as well as the good. People from every language and tribe and nation, from all of history. The requirements for entry into this kingdom, into this banquet, are not a spotless record. It's not a long history of church attendance or good deeds. No, the requirements are simply that you are a yes person. Someone who, when you are invited by the king, you say, yes, I want to be there. And in so many ways, I just want to stop there. And I want to dwell on this wonderful God of grace and this beautiful banquet. But I'm afraid we can't. We can't because Jesus doesn't. See, having got to verse 10, he adds on this little story about the chap who's wearing the wrong clothes. And in that man, that little extra bit of the story, Jesus gives us another warning about another heart attitude, and it's this one. I am coming on my own terms. I don't know about you, but instinctively, as I read about this guy who's kind of come along to the wedding, who's presumably been brought in from the side of the road or whatever, and then the king comes to see his guest, and he says, hey, you're not wearing your wedding clothes. Well, I kind of feel like, isn't it an overreaction to tie him up and throw him out of the party to the place there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? It feels wrong, but just a couple of things to say about that. First, when the king approaches him, do you notice he's utterly speechless? He has nothing to say for himself. There is no defense that he can offer. As the king asks him the question, he knows he ought to be wearing his wedding clothes. He knows that he could have had them, but he doesn't. And the point is this. Here is a man who has tried to come into the wedding on his own terms. He is doing things his way. And again, it's about respecting the sun. I mean, think back to some of those kind of great royal weddings we've had in the last few years, those kind of big events. Think about Harry and Meghan's wedding in Windsor last year. Okay, it doesn't matter if you have an invitation clutched in your hands. Okay, if you turn up at that wedding reception in your dirty gardening gear, if you pitch up in your pyjamas, if you've jogged there and you're still in your sweaty shorts and t-shirt, you're not getting in. You're not getting in because it's disrespectful to the couple being married. You see, the king here, he says, come to anyone and everyone. But he says, come on my terms. And to do anything else is really, ultimately, to say no to this king. You come to this king, you come to this banquet on his terms, not on your terms. And again, as we think about this wedding, I want us to think about funerals. I don't know if you know this, but the most common song to be played at funerals today, and it's been every single year since they started taking the survey, is Frank Sinatra, "I Did It My Way." And I guess as an attitude to life and a kind of a celebration of people forging their own path, that is fine, but spiritually speaking, if what we say at your funeral or what you want people to say at your funeral is, "I did it my way," spiritually speaking, that is deadly. You cannot say to this king that we're reading about that, "Oh, I quite like your son, he's all right, but actually I'm going to try and come to the wedding on my own terms." You cannot say that. To be a yes person, to be a person who gets a taste of this banquet, you must be someone who both says, "Yes, I desperately care about your son and think he deserves honour, but also, yes, I'm going to do things your way. I'm going to come your way." Which, friends, we know, don't we? It is only by trusting him, by faith alone in the Lord Jesus and his death for us. Because that's where history is headed. God says, "My son will be honored." That's what he says. "My son will be honored." That is where history is heading. That is what the universe is about. And if you are a yes person, if you are someone who loves the Lord Jesus, then this is what you're going to be doing for all eternity. You're going to be at this banquet. And you'll be giving Jesus, the son of the king, the praise, the glory, the honor that he deserves. And it will be wonderful. And isn't it just something that kind of fills us with joy as we think about the fact that anyone and everyone gets an invitation? This is open to all. All you have to do is say yes. And yes, people, let me be really clear about this. People who say, "Come and enjoy this great banquet," they are not the smartest. They're not the kindest, not the richest, not the most powerful of this world. By the standards that our culture kind of draws up, they are nothing special. They aren't marked out by any of the things that our culture marks people out by. They are marked out by one thing and one thing alone. They love Jesus. They love this son. They realize that their life even is about him more before it is about themselves. They long to see him praised and honored because they realize that he deserves it. And when they hear that invitation from the king to come, they come. The bad and the good alike. They come in the way that God asked them, trusting in Jesus and his death alone. But as we come to the end of this wedding story that's about funerals, I hope it leaves you thinking this question: what will they say about me at my funeral? Because there really are two types of people in this world. There are yes people, and then there are no people. And the wedding of a no person, it's a tragic affair, isn't it? We try and say nice things about them. We talk about their career, maybe their passion for steam trains or gardening, or their love of reading, their kindness, their family. And we do that because there's nothing else to say. And it's tragic. And it's bitter in so many ways. But yes, people, on the other hand, as we gather to remember them, well, we'll say, we loved them. We miss them. We're sad. But ultimately, they were nothing special. Their Saviour, on the other hand, the Lord Jesus, on the other hand, the one they trusted in, now he, we will say, is something special. And because they loved him, because they trusted in him, we're confident that they are there at the wedding banquet now, with the bad as well as the good, with all who turned up, who answered the invitation by saying yes. Tomorrow morning, our family, we're going to be saying goodbye to Susie's granny, who died a couple of weeks ago. And at that funeral, it will be such a joy, because she was a yes person. She was someone who loved the Lord. And so we'll be able to have confidence. It's what I hope and trust and pray we'll be saying in a week or so's time at Jackie's Thanksgiving service. We'll say she was a yes person. And there will be deep sadness, of course there will. There will be tears, of course there will. But there will be that underlying hope and that underlying joy, because they are folk who love the Lord, who did care about God's Son, and who came his way and on his terms. I'm sorry if this has felt a bit morbid for a sunny August Sunday morning. I know for lots of us, I guess death and funerals can feel a long way away and something we don't want to think about. But no matter how much we try and hide from it, every one of us will one day die. And so I hope, I pray that each of us will take the Jesus' closing words in this passage with absolute seriousness. Do you see what he says as he finishes? He says, many are invited, few are chosen. There are many, many people who hear this good news, this message, that they can come, but respond by either saying, no, I don't care about the Son, or they say, I'm going to do life my way, thanks. And both of those are deadly, deadly attitudes. But some are chosen. And so please, please make sure that you are a yes person. Make sure you are someone who loves this Son and wants to see him honoured. Make sure you're someone who says, yes, I'm coming, and I'm coming your way, Lord, because this is the only place that there is hope. And that thought of a funeral where we say, isn't the Lord Jesus wonderful? It is beautiful. Let me pray. Father, we do want to thank you again for the life of our sister Jackie. And thank you for that hope that we can have, because she was a yes person who loved you and trusted you and wanted Jesus' honour above all else. And pray that that would be true for every one of us here. Please would we see Jesus the more clearly, love him more deeply, and seek to live life your way. And we pray this for your glory's sake. Amen.